Good morning.
Good morning.
To get ready for biblical study, your first shift is a mental shift. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." When you study the Word of God, you receive rest for your soul. If fear is ruling any part of your life, God wants fear out of your soul. God's will is for you to enter His rest so that you will relax in your soul regardless of circumstances, and so you will use His promises to calm your mentality. The mental shift invites you to relax and invites you to take advantage of the things that God the Holy Spirit has prepared for you to learn. Your second shift before you study the Word of God is a spiritual shift. You assess your soul condition. At this moment, are you in carnal condition and out of fellowship with God because of unconfessed personal sins, or are you in spiritual condition, in fellowship with God, and ready to receive the Word as God is ready to speak it? And if you examine yourselves, and you're out of fellowship, you can get back in fellowship if necessary by admitting your known sins right now to God the Father. Then you can claim a restoration promise like Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. It says, "Awake, sleeper," that's a believer in a state of prolonged carnality, "and arise from the dead," get back in fellowship with God, "and the Lord Jesus Christ will shine on you by means of the filling of the Spirit." Let's take a few moments in silence to fix the eyes of our souls on the Lord Jesus Christ as He gets us ready to study the Word of God. The opening song is "Your Word Takes Me."
From me, Your seal is on my heart. I belong to you only. You are placed in the world. Your word takes me places no one else can take me. Your word calms my soul like nothing ever can. Your word takes me places no one else can take me. Your tender touch soothes me so much. You stimulate my soul. Your word makes me whole. Your word takes me. Your word makes me. Your word takes me. Where only you and I can go. The places I've been, your word heals me deep within. You know all of me, from you I cannot hide. Your word makes me come alive. Your word takes me places no one else can take me. Your tender touch soothes me so much. You stimulate my soul. Your word makes me whole. Your word takes me. Your word makes me. Your word takes me. Where only you and I can go.
That song gives me goosebumps. There was a singer that I grew up listening to, Sarah Vaughan, and if you YouTube her, she would have been perfect to sing that song. Not as perfect as June, but pretty good. And it was funny when June was recording this over in Topeka, you know, in the land of Oz. The guy that was the recording guy said, "Man, that song's downright sexy. Are you going to go to hell for singing that song?" Like, yes, she's going to go to hell for singing that song. But that's a fantastic song, as are all the songs on June's new CD, which will be out, I promise, by next January, because, well, I won't even tell you why. But no, it's going to be out really soon. All right, let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Show us how you pave the way for our education. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Pastor Rory Clark, and you're listening to Lesson 327 of the Angelic Conflict Series. Welcome to a ministry designed for serious students of the Word of God. Please stand. In gratitude for all who defend our freedom, and especially in gratitude for military victory from our frontline military personnel, and in honor of law enforcement officers all over the world, especially those who are members of our congregation, we recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. A few announcements. Mark your calendars. The next celebration of the Lord's Supper is June 10th, 2012. Also mark your calendars. There will be no Bible class on June 24th. No Bible class on June 24th. I was invited to a 40-year reunion of the 1972 Chicago White Sox team for which I was a bat boy. And so I'm going. But what we're going to try to do is have a Friday night lesson that week on the 22nd. So stay tuned for that. We're trying to work out the details of that. And if we can do that, we'll do that. Barah Ministries radio program on KXXT 1010 AM in Phoenix is every Friday from 4:30 to 5. And it's rebroadcast every week on myfamilyvaluesradio.net. Click to listen G. Under God Cares for You. And in this past week, last Friday, God Wants a Relationship with You was aired. And it is the 10th lesson. And those lessons are also available under the radio program tab on the Barah Ministries website. Thanks to Debbie Kramer for joining the growing list of transcription volunteers. I think we have 60 now. Okay, five. But thanks to all the members of the resident and non-resident congregation who have stepped up, stepped up to that task, and also to those who have stepped up to the task in the non-resident congregation of paying the pastor's salary and to support the radio broadcast. So thank you very much. Congratulations to the winners of the Boorah Scramble Golf Tournament yesterday. Shut up. Stop clapping for them. The only reason Matt is here is because he wanted to hear me say this. That's all. And he's going to leave right after this announcement. You mention that trophy again, and I swear you will be excommunicated from the church. As you can tell, I did not win the tournament. And I'm not bothered by that. I'm not bitter. I'm not going to let a root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by it, many be defiled. But anyway, congratulations to Matt Maroney, Deacon Denny Goodall, Ben Johnston, and Kurt Forciel. We need our French friend now. Kurt for bringing home the first place trophies. My team got participation ribbons. So we had a ceremonial burning of the participation ribbons right afterward. Yeah, we have a lot of potential, right? Is that right, Caleb? But it was a really fun time, and thanks to Mike Embry for coordinating the event. And actually, it was something that we need to do more often. It was really fun, and it's a real rare situation where you have a church where you actually like being with the people outside of church. And this was a blast with a bunch of really down-to-earth people. Just to let you know how down-to-earth people are, Bruce had iridescent balls that grow and that glow in the dark. What? He had balls, golf balls, that are iridescent and that glow in the dark. You thought I was talking about his testicles? I'm not talking about his testicles. Did you think I was talking about your testicles? No, I was not talking about testicles. It's not that I'm above talking about testicles, but I wasn't in that case. And so, and he likes playing other people's fairways, too. That's another thing that I really enjoyed watching. He was supposed to be over there, here. But no, it was a blast. We had a lot of fun, and I hope that next year, if we choose to do this again, actually I have in here the first and only, but... But I was just kidding. But we should do it again, and we should do it again sooner than annually because it was a blast. It was a lot of fun. And you don't have to play golf to come out. You can come out and just ride around on the cart and wreck the desert and stuff like that. You were doing a wedding, so shut up. So you couldn't have come. So anyway, so are we okay with the fact that I was not talking about testicles? You're such a weird group of people. Happy birthday to Paria Malamdari, who is 18 years old on the 22nd. What's today, the 20th? Yeah, so a couple days. Happy birthday also to Jeremy Jones, whose birthday is coming up this week, May 24th. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall to take the offering. Guests, you're exempt from this unless you just want to do it. And I swear to God, if you bring that trophy up here, it's going to be... No, you can bring your little trophy. Bring your little trophy up, Deacon Denny. What a jerk.
Good morning. I just accidentally brought this with, so I figure I'll just place that there. I'm Deacon Denny Goodall. God provides Bible doctrine through His grace, and we hope to reflect His grace. Therefore, Barah Ministry is a grace ministry and functions entirely on your generous donations. There is no charge for any Bible doctrine at BarahMinistries.com. Our website allows anyone, anywhere, to receive the Word of God. Gratitude for the Word of God inspires believers to give of their time, their talent, and their treasure. Since Pastor taught us that mothers aren't perfect, we're able to celebrate and reward them without hypocrisy. It's an everyday, full-time job with millions of decisions, and it deserves to be rewarded more than one day a year. Moms make tough decisions that we know about, and many that we don't or will never know about. They sacrifice their life to protect and prepare us. We're able to live carefree because of their nonstop care. Mothers worry about the interests of others and not just themselves. They do all this while not being perfect. So imagine what God can do for us. We can learn a lot about the offering from the actions of moms and our God. Many moms live by Philippians 2, verse 4. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. It's not about being perfect. It's about trying to help as many people as possible by supporting the truth. God takes our flawed efforts and makes them supernatural. So when you give, don't worry about the amount or feel bad because you haven't given as much time to the ministry as you hope to. You're taking in truth and you're supporting it perfectly in your imperfection. Remember to treat others as mothers treat their children. Sacrifice your life for others without worrying about being perfect. So celebrate and honor to the greatest gift of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, by giving in the new self. So let me end in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us an eternal relationship with you. Thank you for making our imperfect efforts function perfectly when we are in fellowship. I pray that you continue to shock the medical community by healing those in need. And I pray that you bless and protect those that stand on a wall and give us freedom. I pray this in the power of the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name, amen. And God bless the champions.
What concerns me today?
Welcome back. So I was wondering why everybody was looking at me stupid. It wasn't Bruce, it's Brad. So I screwed that up. But don't worry, I called Nathan Sean the first time. I called you Ashley. So blew it. But it was Brad with the iridescent yellow golf balls. Oh, so it wasn't the testicles. I get it. So, you know, if Deacon Denny's message wasn't so good, I would be saying, you know, it's a really good thing that we're having a deacon ordination today because one deacon has just been fired, and we're bringing in another one. And then our singer over here says, well, does that mean you're a loser, Pastor? And so then we'd be looking for a singer. But, you know, I just decided you can't be running people off like that. So, but. And I know they neglected to mention that they were given 12 strokes. I just want you to know that they neglect. They didn't mention that. No. And if they hadn't been given 12 strokes, then Pastor Dolly. Yeah, I know. It's all right. No. All right, let's get going. Yeah, right? All right. Today's study, the Creator wants you to know the barrier He removed for your education. The Creator wants you to know the barrier He removed for your education. Jamie, could you get mind maps to the people who were not at the first session? So the Creator wants you to know the barrier He removed for your education. There's something I may never understand as long as I'm a pastor. And that is why some believers in Christ hate repetition of the basic doctrines of the Christian way of life. Because in the last lesson, we went over some basic doctrines of the Christian way of life. And every time I study the basic doctrines, and I study them way more than you do, I engage in repetition way more than you do. And every single time that I'm engaged in repetition, I see something new and I get a fresh perspective on the truth. And so I want to encourage you to do the same thing, not to become familiar with the Word of God and, you know, go into your little coma. You know, every time we start a lesson, I'll say to you, my name is Pastor Rory Clark. And you may, well, we know who you are. Yeah, but there are people who come into these lessons every day that don't know who I am. And we give the overview of what study we're in and what the components of the study are. And, you know, you may want to go comatose, right? Why does he repeat that all the time? I repeat it because everybody who's here needs to be read into the context of things before we go through it. That's why. Otherwise, you just start studying the parts of doctrine. You never understand how they connect to the whole. So I follow Peter's advice. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, here's what Peter had to say. I, Peter, consider it right. And when he says right, he says, in fact, I consider it my duty, my obligation. As a pastor, as long as I'm continuing to be in this earthly dwelling, which is a reference to the physical body, to stir you up, to arouse you by way of reminder with my authority to do so. That's what pastors do. We have the authority from God the Holy Spirit, for those of you who are our sheep, to continually arouse you, to keep you focused on the foundation that you have, the basic foundation that you have in truth, and then to add on top of that foundation other things that enhance your ability to see this fantastic structure that God is placing in your soul. 2 Peter 1:15 says, I will be diligent that at any time after my departure, you'll be able to call these things from the Word of God to mind. Now, when we get down the road of education, you're going to see that verse several times. Because Peter's talking about what a pastor really does. What we do as pastors is we are diligent to keep on calling things to your mind so that you can recall them under pressure. And we learn from repetition. And if you're negative to repetition, then you're negative to learning. Because you aren't good enough to get it the first time you hear it and to have it cemented in you forever, except if it's something horrible that you've emotionalized and that you want to hold on to. You know, if you want to do something for your own soul, get rid of all that stuff that you've emotionalized that you're holding on to. It's so funny to watch people learning, and that's what I've had the privilege of doing as a teacher for 36 years. And it's just funny to watch people learning, because when they go into that space where they don't know anything, the first thought in their head that comes out of their mouth is, I'm bad at this. I'm bad at this. Wait a minute, you haven't even tried it. How do you know? I was teaching a 15-year-old how to hit a golf ball yesterday. First thing out of her mouth was, I'm bad at this. And then after about 10 minutes of instruction, she was pounding the ball. Right? So why don't we just enjoy what the process of education is? The process of education is you start with a blank slate. You know nothing. You don't know whether you're good or bad at it. Then you learn. And as you learn, you make a lot of mistakes. And the mistakes are what help you to know what it is that you're to do. And at a point, you get really comfortable at it. And then when you get comfortable at it, you need to break it and go to another level and put yourself in a place of discomfort again. That's how we learn. We're always, the essence of learning is you coming to the point where you realize that discomfort is what's comfortable. When you start becoming comfortable with the continual discomfort, that's when you're learning. When you continue to put yourself in a place of discomfort, that's when you're learning. And so God has given us 10 open doors. 10 open doors that make us great recipients of His knowledge. And we're now ready to study open doors 5 through 9 under the category of education, renewing, reception, recognition, retention, and recall. Renewing, reception, recognition, retention, and recall. And we're going to learn the gracious provision that our God has put in place for our education. So when we look at this gracious provision that God has put in place for our education, we will be learning about Him so we can learn about His Word, which is His exact thinking, and so that we can apply what we're learning to the challenges of life. That's that recall part. Recall it under pressure. Take it in. Hear it. Understand it. Believe it, use it under pressure. That's what we're going to be learning about. Now, in the last session, we studied the Zoe Road, the part of your education that reminds you of the narrow way that leads to the Zoe life. And we have a mind map. Now, I continue to encourage you to create your own mind maps and to interact with this lesson. I haven't taught you mind maps, but I want you to start practicing before I even teach you and make visible and vivid with pictures and drawings on your notes, the things that you're learning in the lesson to determine the flow of the lesson. And in the last lesson, we were talking about this Zoe Road and the things that happen on it. You're born physically alive, spiritually dead, and we prove it with verses. But you were born on the wrong side of a barrier, and it consists of 6 things. And if you stay on the wrong side of a barrier, you continue to be an unbeliever, then you go to the lake of fire because you were set on Satan's team at the beginning. Not your fault, but it is your circumstance. But God did something for you to break that barrier down. And in this lesson, we're going to talk about the barrier removed. What is it that God did to get this barrier out of your way? What is it that God did to make your salvation possible? Well, He went to the cross, and in substitutionary spiritual death at the cross, He removed all 6 parts of the barrier that prevented us from having a relationship with God. So let's take a look at how Christ at the cross provided the possibility of your so great salvation when you were His enemy. Because we're all born enemies to God. Romans 5:8 says that God the Father demonstrated His unconditional love for all mankind in that while we were sinners, while we were His enemy, while we were on the wrong side of a barrier, the Lord Jesus Christ died at the cross as a substitute for us. So when Christ at the cross removed the barrier between creatures and the Creator, what happened? You were reconciled to God. That's the word that describes the whole process of that removal. Once that barrier was removed and the new things were put in place for your the possibility of relationship, if you accepted that new thing, if you accepted through faith alone and Christ alone that offer to come across the barrier and have a relationship with God, you are reconciled to God. Reconciled. Here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. He himself, a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, is our Irene in the Greek, our Irene, our reconciliation provider, typically translated our peace. He is our reconciliation provider, who made both groups, Jews and Gentiles, believing Jews and believing Gentiles, into one group. See, the Jews in the Old Testament were the chosen racial species, and they were chosen for 490 years of evangelism to the rest of the world. They were the evangelism agency of the Old Testament. And what did they do? They distorted it. They said, look, if you're Jewish, you're saved. And if you're not Jewish, if you're a Gentile, their slang term in Yiddish, if you're a goy, you're not saved. You're really kind of a barbarian. They distorted it. That was not the message. They were supposed to send the message. If you want to be saved, believe in the Messiah, Jehovah Elohim, as he is revealed to Old Testament believers. That's what Abraham did in Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed in Jehovah Elohim, and it was credited to his account as righteousness. And he was a friend of God. But the Jewish race was the evangelism agency. And they blew it. They turned it into, if you're Jewish, you're saved, and if you're not, you're not. That's not what Paul says in the New Testament. That's not what Paul, one of the Jew of Jews, as he describes himself in Philippians 3, that's not what he said. In Romans 9:6, he says, all Israel is not Israel. All racial Jews are not spiritual Jews like Abraham. All Israel is not Israel. You're a legitimate Jewish person when you believe in Christ, like Abraham did, the father of the Jewish race. So, that's what's meant here by both groups, Jews and Gentiles, into one group, unity. Because the Gentiles in the Old Testament were those people. Kind of like brothers, amen? Amen? You know how it is. Don't be looking at me with that funny face. You know what I'm talking about. And then what did the Lord... I'm sorry. I always have to do that, don't I? I always have to break out of that thing, right? I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. It is what it is. So the Lord Jesus Christ broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. He broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. That is so vivid. Because see, in the Temple of Solomon, if you weren't Jewish, you could come in the temple courtyard, but you could only go up to a certain point. And it was the dividing wall. And on the other side of that wall were the Jewish people, and on this side of the wall it was the Gentiles. So this was vivid language to the Jewish people. That the Lord Jesus Christ broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, just like he tore the veil of the temple with his salvation at the cross. And there was no more Levitical priest and holy of holies. Everybody had access to heaven once the Lord Jesus Christ got there. So, reconciliation means that no obstacle prevents us from having a relationship with the sovereign God of the universe, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At the moment of salvation, your status of spiritual death is changed to an exalted status. You become a church-age believer. You become spiritual royalty. You become positionally sanctified, set apart for amazing privileges. You are promoted by God by means of his provision of eternal salvation. So you have salvation. You are moved from unregenerate to regenerate, an unregenerate blank slate, to a regenerate blank slate, which is a spiritual blank slate. So we're going to look at what Jesus Christ did to remove the barrier. Take a 5-minute break, and when you come back, we'll do that. 5-minute break.
Jesus,
Welcome back. So if you're mind mapping, what we're going to do is continue down this Zoe road. I'm providing you with kind of a little Zoe road. So you can make your own little road on your paper, and you can start to fill in the little things that continue down the road. So we're picking it up right here at Salvation. Van, if you throw that slide up real quick, the Salvation one. So we're picking it up right there. And let's see where we go from here. So the barrier of the dividing wall has been set up in this mind map already. There's six parts of the barrier. And what we're going to see now is how God took that barrier out of the way. So the first thing is you were born in a sinful condition. What is sin? Sin is anything that misses the mark of God's perfection and his perfect standards of righteousness. And since Adam's original sin was credited to you in the form of a sin nature in the cell structure of your body at physical birth, and since your sin nature would commit personal sins as soon as you were able, your condemnation at physical birth placed you in a prison of slavery to spiritual death. See, that's what unbelievers have to get. See, religions want to keep you an unbeliever. And what they want you to think is that from this condition called spiritual death that you were born into, that you can do something impressive to God. And one of the false salvations, the reverse salvations, is invite Christ into your heart. If you're spiritually dead, you're going to try to invite Christ into a tomb. You can't invite Christ anywhere. The only reason you don't look for God, God looks for you. Romans 3:10-13. If you don't believe that, check it out. God looks for you. The shepherd looks for the sheep. When a sheep is lost, the sheep is not going to find the shepherd. The kid if you lose your kid in Target, the kid isn't going to go to the policeman and say, "Hey, my mom is lost." The kid's going to sit in the middle of the floor crying with his thumb in his mouth. That's what we do as sheep when we're lost. And the shepherd comes to us. Thank God moms go looking for their kids. Right? Because then if they didn't, we might have to take one of them home. That'd be terrible. So this redemption that God gives you removed the barrier. Part one of the barrier was removed by redemption. The Lord Jesus Christ's work at the cross provided you with redemption. Galatians 3:13 says this, the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us. What does that mean? He freed us from the prison of spiritual death. We had bars in front of us. He brought the key. The cross was a key. And so he redeemed us from the prison of spiritual death and from being under the curse of the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law was the Old Testament. And what was the Mosaic Law designed to do? To teach you that you can't keep it, and thus you need a Savior. Everything about the Old Testament was pointing forward to the cross and saying, you're a sinner, you need a Savior. Having become a curse for us, the Lord Jesus Christ became a curse for us through his substitutionary spiritual death at the cross. See, you should have gone to the cross, but he said, no, I'll go for them. If there's a payment for sins and the payment for sin is the cross, I'll go for them. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Better believe it, crucifixion was not fun. The worst form of death ever. Redemption freed you from a state of slavery and placed you into a state of freedom. Slave to freedom. When you believe in Christ, you go from slavery to freedom. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing fast in the freedom and don't ever again be entangled in the yoke of slavery. Galatians 5:1. You are free to make your own decisions about God and free to accept God's reconciliation offer for eternal life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 says this, knowing that you were not redeemed. You were not freed from the slavery of spiritual death with perishable things like silver or gold. You weren't bought with money from your futile way of life that you inherited from your forefathers, your ancestors. No, you were redeemed with precious blood. And that's the substitutionary spiritual death of Christ in the cross. You were redeemed with a life, not money. As of a lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ was a lamb, unblemished and spotless, without sin, thus completely qualified to be your sacrifice. The blood of Christ. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ's substitutionary spiritual death on the cross redeemed you. So one of the things that broke down the barrier is redemption. You were purchased from slavery. Another thing that was the barrier of the dividing wall was the penalty for sin. The debt caused by sin is too expensive for us to pay off on our own. But God paid it off for us. And what do we do to reward him for paying it off for us? We feel guilty. We feel like we're not worthy. Sometimes we don't even believe that he did it for us. But he did. He removed part two of the barrier. How did he do it? With expiation. Expiation. What does that word mean? No more guilt. That's what it means. No more guilt. Guilt's a waste of time. Colossians 2, 13 and 14. When you were dead as unbelievers in the sphere of your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, and that's a Jewish term which really means your sin nature, God the Father made you alive together with the Lord Jesus Christ, having forgiven us all of our transgressions. How many of our transgressions?
All.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
All.
Not just some?
All.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to get that straight. All of them. Believers in Christ, all of your transgressions are forgotten. That's what forgive means. Forgotten. Blotted out. No longer to be brought up ever again. He forgives us our transgressions, having canceled out, that is, completely blotted out, the certificate of debt that consisted of decrees against us. See, when you were born, condemned, there were decrees that said, you're going to the lake of fire. Once you became a believer, they were blotted out, canceled out. These decrees were hostile to you, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ has taken it out of the way permanently, once and for all time with the cross, having nailed that certificate of debt to the cross. Isn't that awesome? Is it?
Yes.
Expiation means to atone for or to make amends for an offense. The cross expiated you, so you don't have to expiate yourself. We can never repay our debt to God. And when something is impossible, Christ does it for us. Why? Luke 1:37, because nothing will be impossible with God. And he expects one thing in return for doing that. He expects one thing in return for you, for expiating you. What is it? No guilt. No guilt. You're no longer guilty. I need you to repeat that. No.
No.
Guilt. I didn't hear you. No guilt. None. Ook. No, not never. The barrier of the dividing wall, part three. At birth, you were without a relationship with God. Two words describe that. Helpless and hopeless. Like a baby. That's why you were born a baby. That's why you go out like a baby. Does it remind you what you really are? Helpless and hopeless. Those are the words that describe our spiritual condition at physical birth. We don't have a relationship with God and we're unable to have one, but the Lord Jesus Christ removes the barrier with regeneration. There it is. Part three of the barrier is removed by regeneration, the spiritual birth. We are born again. Oh, are you one of those born agains? You one of those born-again Christians? Don't say it twice. A Christian is born again. What does that mean? We go from spiritual death to spiritual birth when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I am born again. I'm one of those. I'm one of those Bible thumpers. Born again. Amen?
Amen.
Any more thumpers in here?
Amen.
Good. Thump, thump, thump. The Lord Jesus Christ removed the barrier with regeneration. Titus 3, 5 and 6 says, God the Father saved us believers in Christ. Here's the Greek word, the most strong negative in the Greek language. Ouk, O-U-K. God the Father saved us believers. Ouk, not ever. No way, never on the basis of works that you've done in self-righteousness. Ouk, not never. Instead, according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration, spiritual birth from the cross, and renewing by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, one of his ministries at the moment of salvation, in which he puts you in union with Christ and makes you a new spiritual species, who poured out among us richly through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Your salvation was poured out on you. Imagine how that looks. Your salvation, you were drenched with it. Right over the top of your big head. Your cabeza. Amen? ¿Está bien? ¿Cabeza? Sí. Right over your head. He poured it out on you. The only way to have fellowship with God is to be born again. The spiritual birth. The next part of the barrier, the dividing wall, number four, your relative righteousness is not impressive to God. All your works are like a used tampon. You are not impressive to God. God's standards do not shift ever. God's demands for perfection don't ever change. But fortunately for us, he's willing to do all the work to save you. So imagine this. You're imperfect. You commit sins. And now you're going to go try to impress God. Imagine that. He demands perfection. If you don't have it, you're done. And you don't. All right. So what did he do? He said, okay, those imperfect beings down there, I want them to be saved. So I got to do something for them that they cannot do for themselves. And so here's what I'm going to do. Part four of the barrier is removed by the imputation of divine righteousness. God credits to your account, your empty account, absolute righteousness. We call it plus R. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He, God the Father, made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin nature, to be a sin substitute on our behalf, so that we might become the absolute righteousness of God, plus R, in union with him. You have a plus R stamped to your forehead if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you go down to Home Depot, not Lowe's. You know, some people in resident and non-resident congregation work at Lowe's. I don't want you going to Lowe's. I want you to go to Home Depot. Ain't no Lowe's in Mexico. It's Home Depot in Mexico. We got a multicultural congregation. Amen? Can't be talking about Lowe's. The Mexicans would be saying, no comprende. No comprende, Lowe's. Comprende Home Depot. Amen? Amen? ¿Verdad? That means, is it true? Is it true? Sí. Gracias. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God the Father made the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin nature, to be a sin substitute on our behalf, so that we might become the absolute righteousness of God in union with him. Plus R. At the moment of salvation, you're given plus R. What does that mean? You're perfect. And that at that moment of salvation, that moment you have that five-word conversation with God the Father. Father, I believe in Christ. He stamps that on your head. It's your admission ticket to heaven. And he looks at you and all he sees from that point on is perfection. Because you're in union with Christ. Christ is perfect. You're perfect by association. It's called positional sanctification. You are placed in a position and set apart for privilege. Amen?
Amen.
All right. This has got to come out of you. You got to know this. Now, after he imputes plus R to you, that's not enough. You know what he's got to do then? He's got to brag on you. He's got to brag on you. So what does he do? Justification. Justification is a legal declaration of your absolute righteousness, plus R. He brags on you then. And you know what? So here's Romans 3:24 says, being justified as a grace gift by his grace through the redemption, which is a result of being in union with Christ Jesus. So here's what that's like. Anybody, raise your hand if you've ever bought a house. All right, cool. So what happens? You buy the house, you sign the papers. Do you own the house at that moment? Come on, tell them, Rachel. Do you own the house at that moment? No. What do they got to do next? They got to make it public. They got to go downtown and file it. And until it's filed, it's not legal. Amen? Same thing here. So God gives you plus R, but then he's got to announce it to everybody. All right. Sam just became a believer in Christ, and I just want you to know he is absolutely righteous. And it's not only an announcement to people who care about Sam, it's an announcement to people who don't, like Satan and the fallen angels. Because what he's saying is, nah, can't touch this. Amen? Don't mess with my boy. Amen? And then God crossed his arm. Don't make me pull out my 9 and bust a cap. And that's what justification is. That's God said, I will bust you. I am insane. I look at this sometime during the week and I say, what got over me? I'm a Negro. That's what got over me. We are justified. It's inherent in the brother. We are justified because God said it's so. He gives it to us, and then he says it's so, and it is so. Next barrier, next part of the barrier, God's perfect character has to be satisfied, and you're imperfect, and you can't do it. Imperfection cannot satisfy perfection. Yes, but Pastor Rory, he just gave us absolute righteousness. Good point. Yes, and he announced it. Good point. But there's another part of the barrier. What is it that satisfied that perfect character? Was it you having plus R to satisfy the character? No, it was something else. So when we're on the wrong side of a barrier, at physical birth, without a relationship with God, only a perfectly satisfactory method of atonement can rectify our sinful condition. So the work of Christ on the cross is propitiatory, propitiation, perfectly satisfactory to God the Father. So here it is. The fifth part of the barrier is removed by propitiation. Propitiation. Romans 3:25 and 26 says, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God the Father displayed publicly as a propitiation. What does propitiation mean? A perfectly satisfactory payment. By means of his blood, substitutionary spiritual death. Through faith alone and Christ alone, that's your part of it. And this was to demonstrate God the Father's righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, and what is forbearance? A delay in evaluation. He passed over the sins previously committed. Remember, when the angels fell, God could have thrown up his hands and said, hey, I told y'all not to do that. Told you. I'm done. That's what we do. God's not like that. He has forbearance. He's willing to delay the decision, and he did. He passed over the sins previously committed. He overlooked the fault. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just, fair, and the justifier, the one who has faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. In other words, this, he gave you another chance. You fell flat on your face, he gave you another chance. And he's always extending his hand to the unbeliever. Come here. Just believe in me and you'll be saved. Come on. He's always extending his hand. He's always delaying the evaluation up to the point of physical death. At the point of physical death, if you reject the reconciliation offer, that's it. Now, I don't know how you are, but the average male lives to 72, the average female to 77. That's pretty gracious. That's a long time. And people are living longer than they ever have today, much to the dismay of the medical community and the Social Security system. So God's given a long time to take that. What does propitiation really mean? It means you're covered. That's what it means literally. You're covered. By what? God the Father has satisfied the work of his Son for salvation, and that's the only thing that satisfies him. And if you think you can work for salvation, you are insane. There's nothing you can do to impress God, especially not from a position of being an unbeliever spiritually dead. But isn't it great that God extends his hand and says, come here, free gift, salvation, just take it. Father, I believe in Christ. Have a conversation with my Father, and that's the moment of eternal life for you. Five words, you're saved once and for all time. Take it. It's the best deal you're ever going to get. It's free, no strings attached. Look, nothing up my sleeve. It's amazing. God is amazing, and it's free of charge. Next part of the barrier of the dividing wall is your position in Adam does not satisfy God's perfect character. But the Lord Jesus Christ's work at the cross changed an old creature into a new creature. You, if you're a believer in Christ in this age, are a new spiritual species, the likes of which have never been seen. So part six of the barrier is removed by your new position in union with Christ. At the moment of salvation, you are no longer in position with Adam, set to die the second death in the lake of fire. You are now in position with Christ, set to be absent from the body and face to face with the Lord forever at the moment of your physical death. You are a new spiritual species. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it. If anyone is in union with Christ, first class condition if in the Greek, if and it's true. If anyone is in union with Christ, and all believers in Christ are, he is a new spiritual species. What does that mean? Here's you, here's Christ. Wherever he goes, you go. He's not going to the lake of fire. That's what it means. You are a new spiritual species. The Trinity indwelling you. New spiritual species never seen before in the past. The sovereignty of the old self, the sin nature, has passed away. It's lost its power. And forevermore, the new spiritual species things have come. What does that mean? That means you are amazing. That's what it means. That means when you're walking around in heaven, everybody's going to be looking at you and saying, you're lucky, man. Why? You was in the church age, man. The whole Trinity indwelled you, man. We were in the Old Testament, man. We had Moses talking to us and stuff. You had God right inside of you. Yeah, lucky. We're not lucky. God planned that. And what he planned it for is to let you know, to let all creatures throughout the universe know, especially the ones who are in the Supreme Court of Heaven right now looking at us in the theatron of the Supreme Court of Heaven, to let them know what he was willing to do for creatures after the fall. And he was willing to do much more for us after we fell, after we made a mistake, than he ever was before. And if that doesn't prove the wall of fire extinguished concept, I don't know what would. When you commit personal sins, God is closer to you than when you don't. He's watching you even more then. That's not what you're hearing in the world, is it? When you sin, God turns his back on you. Yeah, right. You want to believe that? Go to the churches that teach it. Go right ahead. This is saying something different. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. Amen? Amen. So what do you want to hear? You want to hear the truth, or you want to hear fairy tales? You want somebody to lie to you and you know they're doing it? And you sit there anyway? Like the Thyatira believers who put up with false doctrine? We are one in union with Christ. And however he is blessed, We church age believers are blessed that way as well. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. The testimony is this, that God the Father has given us the Zoe life, the resurrection life while we're here on earth as believers. And this Zoe life is in union with Christ, his Son. And he who has a relationship with the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has the Zoe life. And he who does not have a relationship with the Son, unbelievers, do not have the Zoe life. They do not have the eternal life. What they have instead is everlasting life, life that has a beginning and no end. And their soul, once born, will never die. They get to choose where it spends eternity. And when they reject the reconciliation offer, they will spend eternity in a place separated from God called the Lake of Fire, a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And why will they be there? Because God damned them to hell. Is that it? No, because they rejected heaven. They rejected it. They were offered it 100 times and they said no. So he said, okay then, I get it. Go live without me. But it's not my will that any should perish. 2 Peter 3:9, it is not God's will that any should perish in the lake of fire, but that all should come to a change of mind about Christ. Amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore we believers in Christ are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, as though God were making an appeal to unbelievers through us, because he is. We beg you, unbelievers, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. In reconciliation, God changes you from a state of hostility to a state of irene, peace, reconciliation. In relationship with Christ, through the baptism of the Spirit, you are reconciled. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has removed the barrier. We finish with this, Ephesians 2:14 through 16. He himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our irene, our reconciliation, our peace, who made both groups, Jews and Gentiles, who are believers, into one group. And he broke down the barrier of the dividing wall in Solomon's temple. He broke down the veil of the tabernacle. Why? How? By abolishing in his flesh at the cross the state of enmity, absolute hatred between God and man. You are born hating God. As an unbeliever, you hate God. No, I don't. Yeah, you do. Every time you commit a personal sin, you do. That's what you're saying. I hate you, God. I'm not listening to you. But the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross tore that down. And what did he tear down? The law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in union with himself, which is what believers are, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, might make the two, Jews and Gentiles, into one new man, the new spiritual species, thus establishing irene, peace, reconciliation, and might reconcile them both into one body to God through the cross, to God the Father, through the cross, by having put to death the enmity. You know what this would be like? This would be like the Jews and the Arabs getting along. Now, until Jesus Christ is reigning on earth in the millennium, that's never going to happen. We are not going to have peace in the Middle East, ever, until Jesus Christ is reigning there personally. But that's what this is like. What he did for you at the cross is like bringing the Jews and the Arabs together. Completely removing the barrier. That's what he did for you while you were his enemy. Oh my God. So what is he willing to do for you now that you're his buddy? And he says that in Romans 8:32. Will you turn there real quick, please? Romans 8:31, 32. Let's finish up that way. And then, June, you're in the hole. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Because, see, I think you think I make a lot of this stuff up. Right? I think you think I'm in a drug-induced stupor sometimes, and I'm just making this stuff up, just saying it off the top of my head. But I'm not. You there? Romans 8, 31 and 32, it says this. What then shall we, believers in Christ, say to these things? What page is that, by the way? 1278. Anybody got a red Bible? 1578. For our visitor. We're helping you out here, girlfriend. Because I know you going there, you got a mission on. You want to see this. I want you to see this. 1578, you say, Jamie? Okay. You got it? Romans 8:31. It says, what then shall we believers in Christ say when we are face to face with these things? And that's all the things that were from verse 28 to verse 30. What shall we say face to face with this thing? We shall say, if God is for us, first class condition if in the Greek, and he is, who can be against us? The answer? Nobody. Nah. Can't touch this. Here's the beauty. He who did not spare his own son, he, God the Father, who did not spare his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but delivered him over as a substitute for us all when we were his enemy, how will he not also with him, now that we're in union with him, freely give us the all things? What are you worried about? If he took care of you while you were his enemy, do you think he's not going to take care of you all of a sudden now that you're his bud? Please. And that's the truth. T-R-O-O-F. That's the truth. Amen?
Amen.
June, the humility song.
Under your mighty hand, oh God, so that pride and arrogance in my life won't perpetually be a part of. I must be reminded not to think too highly of self, and I must be sober and diligent to put Christ and others before myself. Your word, oh God, must be the standard for my life. Your word makes me think differently. It cuts just like a knife. For if my thoughts don't line up with your word, oh God, I know that I could live my life out of fellowship. That's the place I know you don't want me to go. Surrender absolutely to you, submitting to you.
That song always traumatizes me because it just ends. You know, and if you aren't kind of paying attention, you're in big trouble. Critical part of your education, then, is a thorough knowledge of basic doctrine. With a barrier removed between you and God, you're free to have a great and glorious and gracious relationship with the one with whom we have much to do. And all it requires on your part is a little humility, a little teachability. I'm confident of this very thing, that God the Father, who began a divine good work in the creation of you, will keep on perfecting it until the day of Christ Jesus. So rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, and don't fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will garrison your hearts and your minds, the right lobe of your soul and the left lobe of your soul, for those of you in union with Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for tearing down the barrier, for removing the things that were in the way of our relationship. And thank you for reaching out your hand and offering us absolute righteousness, perfection, so that we can have the same thing you have, the perfection that will allow us to enter into heaven and to spend all eternity with you. And I pray that everyone who is at the end of this message, no matter where they have been in their spiritual journey, understands this one simple thing. A five-word conversation with you, Father, will get them to heaven once and for all time, and will give them a so great salvation that they could never lose. And we pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name, amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.